Hello, welcome to Spotlight, always brightening your day with artistic joy.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we catch up with the ever-wonderful queer Manx poet Simon Madrill as he publishes his first ever poetry collection. Hear about Young Singer of Man and what's coming up at the EAC, and how local playwrights are playing a major role in this year's One Act Play Festival. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Yes, poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, calligraphy, digital. I swapped those two around just for the added excitement there. And someone did approach me only today to say, oh, can I come and have a talk? Why not you? HowardCain@manxradio.com. is the address to get in contact with. Kane with an E. spotlight@manxradio.com works too. Easy. Great to be with you again as always. Now, you know you've made it as a poet when your first collection is reviewed in the national papers. So I think we can say Manx poet Simon Madrill, based down in Brighton, has firmly made it as he received this review in the Guardian, or Grawniad if you prefer, for his first published collection, Lamping Wild Rabbits. It says, Loss and Candor categorised Madrill's debut collection. The speaker feverishly recalled desires often accompanied by the contrapositive of shame. While the subjects include memory, life with HIV and the transformation of innocence, the language is steeped in poetics of interpenetration observed with a rich, descriptive eye. Polaroid of people gone, refaced for posterity, white powdered cheeks, dust marks death on my pants. The prize of age is wisdom. The captive live longer than the wild, than moments here silence the reader to introspection. I'd say that's pretty positive. They even spelled his name correctly. I chatted to Simon down the line from his home in Brighton and first off asked him about that title, Lamping Wild Rabbits.
Originally, the manuscript I submitted was called Blue Spine, but it was the publisher that suggested that poem, which was actually that title, which is in one of the poems, which was actually a poem that I had in my first ever pamphlet, the Manx pamphlet Throat Bone, which was based on an experience in the Isle of Man. And for me, it's got quite an interesting history, because that poem I actually submitted 30 times. Wow. To magazines without it getting published. And then I put it into Throat Bone, which of course means that you can't then get it into magazines afterwards. And I almost didn't include it in the manuscript that I sent for my first collection. So it's funny, isn't it, how these things sort of come around. It yeah. ends up being the hardest thing to get published, ends up being the title of my debut collection.
Well, so, goes around,
really good.
Goes around, comes around, as they say. And you mentioned, and we've spoken before about your pamphlets and things you've published in the past, Isle of Sin, The Whole Island, Finger in Derek Jarman's Mouth, and Throat Bone, you're mentioning there. But this is, first, what, your debut collection of works in book form?
Yeah, absolutely. So a collection in poetry terms is sort of over 48 pages. I mean, this is like 90 pages or late 80s pages, but I mean, it's not really it's not a collection of the pamphlets. I mean, the central portion of the book is a selection of the Derek Jarman poems. So there's sort of 11 of those poems, even though some of them have been edited, in the central portion of the book, which was originally my idea of Blue Spine. There are only about 5 or 7 of the poems that come from the other pamphlets. So there's 70 poems in the book. So a large number of them, the vast majority are not from my pamphlets, and about half of those have never been published in magazines either.
And do they cover it? I mean, does it go back quite a few years, the work? Is it all work that's been written in recent years, or does it span quite a timescale?
Well, I mean, Throat Bone was one of my... Sorry, Lamping Wild Rabbits was one of my very first poems, sort of in my very first non-published poems. I can't let it go. You can tell, haven't you? But 2019, that was in Throatbone. So the poems spanned that whole period. But I would say, yeah, proportionately speaking, there's more in recent times than there is in earlier times. I would say most of the poems are probably the last 3 years. I would say, you know, what you obviously find with these things is that, you know, the manuscript I submitted was going way back October 2024, and even though I have written some poems since and put those in, you know, the wheels of poetry move quite slowly, so everything is always in the past.
I was thinking that. I mean, just how difficult it is now to actually get, as a freelance poet, as it were, how difficult is it to get your work published?
I think it's very hard. And I run a sort of a tutorial masterclass on poetry submissions, for example, and I also run another one on how to get your poetry pamphlet published. And there's so much competition. I mean, particularly since lockdown, a lot more people write. The digital age has sort of meant that electronic submissions, which sort of in the poetry world have only really been at the forefront in the last 5 or 7 years, that ability to submit online has massively increased the number of poems that people submit. So, you know, the top magazines publish 1% of their submissions. You know, most magazines are at the other bigger magazines are about 3% of submissions. And, you know, and it's a similar sort of level. It's a similar sort of level for pamphlets and collections as well. You know, most of the, I mean, Outspoken, for example, only publish 6 books or pamphlets every year. You can imagine the competition is great. I mean, it took me a lot longer than I really wanted for my collection to be published, but now I'm grateful that it took that long, because I've got the publisher of my dreams, and, you know, I think the work is a hell of a lot better than it would have been. The book is a hell of a lot better than it would have been if I'd had a first collection published 3 years ago, for example.
And the themes, again, I've been looking at some of the work going through, and there's themes which I know you return to often in your work, so that there's life, there's love, there's loss, and of course all through the vision or through the eye of your own sexuality. These are themes which are crop up regularly in your work, I suppose, alongside, it has to be said, which is always running through it, this deep love of your homeland.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And nature as well, I think.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I guess there isn't, you know, whereas the whole island, the Isle of Sin, Throatbone were sort of 100% Manx poems, you know, there's probably only a handful that you might say are like 100% Manx. But you can't take the Manx out of me. So the Manx is just like the queerness and the Manxness is hovering around throughout the whole thing.
And I suppose also it's part of defining who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they would be the first two adjectives I would use. Yeah, and that thing that you tweet that now needs a big black X on it, is that used to be my handle because someone took Simon Madrill, so I used to be Queer Manx Poet. So yeah, I mean, I think our identities and you know, and the specific perspectives that we might have of being who we are. Mm. Obviously, I have a particular perspective on being Manx, is that, you know, we are arguably England's first colony. And for me, it'd be better if that ended. But, you know, not all Manx people have that view, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing, again, with your work, which, again, is a sort of common thread, is for people who might not be familiar with it, I'm just trying to think how to phrase it, but you shoot from the hip, as it were. You don't mince words. There's a raw reality, a raw edginess to quite often that sort of thread running through quite a lot of your work.
Well, I guess you're a better judge of that than me. I mean, I think writing is an exploration, and hopefully what you're uncovering is your own truth or your version of the truth. And I'm not sure that good writing has much space for prevarication unless the actual point of the exploration is the prevarication that you're feeling. You know what I mean? I think there are times when there's things that you want to say and conclusions that you come to. I mean, maybe it's, you know, I'm also neurodiverse, so I mean, maybe there's an element of that too in sort of some of the definitiveness. But the collection, you know, it covers a wide range, really. I mean, it's in, as I'm sure you've noticed, it's got sort of, it's in five parts. And we decided to call each part after a rabbit. So we start with caged rabbits. And that sort of is a, you know, an arc of growing up and finding out who I am, and then that escape from the cage to become a feral rabbit. And then the central part of the book is Dungeness Rabbits after Derek Jarman, which is really the coming to terms with becoming HIV positive and coming to terms as one does, therefore much more starkly with one's own mortality. And how Jarman inspired me to look at nature and be supported by nature through that journey, which of course takes me back to the island as much as it does Dungeness, as much as it does to my own garden. And all, you know, all three of those things are intertwined, I think. You know, the last two sections of the book are sort of that, are looking at life through the lens of nature in Wild Rabbits and Dead Rabbits, which are the final two sections.
And we'll hear more from Simon next week on how his writing has changed over the years, and of course, a poem.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now we're off down south to meet this man for a catch-up on happenings in one of the island's most iconic artistic hubs.
I'm Pip Rolf. I am Creative Director at Erin Arts Centre.
And we are down for our, I don't know, bi-monthly catch-up to see what's been going on. The last time we were around, it was before Christmas. Busy Christmas season, then what, a bit of a break?
Yeah, very busy and a very well-earned break, and then straight back at it for a packed January, which culminated in, I have to mention this, fantastic Young Singer of Man competition at the end of the month, which was, I think it's probably the best one ever.
Really?
Yeah, we had about 58 entrants this year, which is a new record, a new class, intermediate. So we have the junior, which is school years 3 to 6, and then we introduced an intermediate, which is 7 to 9, and then school years 10 to 13, which is the seniors. Really lovely, friendly, accessible competition. Everyone sings two songs. They get a nice sort of bit of feedback at the end, and then the prizes. And it was it was a really lovely event.
And are they still well attended from an audience point of view?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is the thing where you have anything where you have sort of family related events. You've got the you know, mums and dads and brothers and sisters and music teachers, of course, coming along to support. So yeah, very well attended.
So here we are now, casting forward to the spring and summer season, and before you know it, we'll be talking about the Bananan Festival again. But what's sort of coming up in the sort of spring season now as we head through the end of February and into March?
Okay, well, I'd like to mention we've got this a new initiative called Afternoon Classics. Now, this is a monthly thing. It's going to be a series of matinees brought to you in association with Southern Befrienders. And it's basically just a little initiative to try and keep those miserable winter blues at bay. So you get a classic film. Southern Befrienders have very kindly offered their minibus to transport people in the south of the island who may not be able to get here otherwise, a lift to and from the venue. And then we're putting on free tea and biscuits after the film in the bar, so you can sit around and have a chat.
That's a great idea, just getting people out and watching a classic.
Yeah, I think so. Because we normally do matinees for our Wednesday night films, but I don't always find that those films are necessarily what I would term a matinee film. You know, there are certain films that you would, maybe this is slightly patronising, but you think you might go out and see in an afternoon. And so we're starting off with Brief Encounter, which this will have probably been by the time this interview's played. And then we're going to carry on. We're going to put it to the group, who the Southern Befrienders group who come. But I think we're probably going to do things like Hitchcock and, you know, Rebecca, maybe some musicals, Ealing comedies, things like that. So real, a bit of sort of feel good, and really great movies as well.
So as you say, this is sort of an addition to the regular film club evenings.
Yeah, absolutely. So these are going to take place on Tuesday, and our midweek matinees are always on a Wednesday, and they're going to start at 1:30 instead of 2 o'clock, which ties in with, I think, the lunchtime that Southern Befrienders have just up the road.
And then still going on with one of the other, because again, there's several of these sort of, as you say, regulars which go on down here, in addition to the individuals and the one-offs and the concerts and such like. I know there's the piano series. I was down at a wonderful pianist only a few weeks back here. And then things like the opera nights, which I still haven't got to, but it will happen before the end of this year. So there's, I think I saw Tristan and Isolde coming up at some stage.
Yeah, Wagner is looming.
Yeah, I like Wagner.
So do I, but I think we've got to start at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it starts at 4.
Yeah, he's not known for brevity.
No.
But the good news is you can dress up, and there's an interval, and people have sort of there's a glass of something and ooh, sort of canapes.
We put a nice buffet on as well, so yeah, come down, get a bit of Wagner not quite a vol-au-vent, but you might get sausage roll.
What's not to like? Okay, what else is happening on the... Anything else happening on the regular front? I mentioned the piano series. Is that finished now, or is that carrying on?
No, we'll have another one in April. We haven't got our next pianist lined up yet. We've got a date, but we don't have a contender. So as soon as that's with us. Because Milda, who played the last one, was... they're all fantastic, but she was great.
I was going to say, I've been to two or three over the years, and they've always been wonderful evenings, and I always hear good reports about the other ones, and it might not necessarily be a pianist you will instantly recognise, but my God, it doesn't mean that they're not talented.
No, I mean, probably most of them you won't recognise, because they're all at the sort of fledgling end of their careers.
Starting out in their careers.
Yeah, and they come to us from the Keyboard Trust, who basically support young pro pianists and find them gigs in places like the Air and Arts Centre. And they're all amazing. But, yeah, the last couple we've had have been really outstanding players.
And particularly, I think, as you say, with the last one, that she was wonderful, that she'd sort of tell stories and talk about the music and give some background rather than just launching straight into the tunes.
Yeah, I think it makes it... Not everyone's comfortable speaking either before and after a piece, and I can understand that because they all play from memory, and when you've got all this music in your head, sometimes the last thing you want to do is tell a little anecdote or something, you know, before. But she was really happy to talk, and I think that's, you know, that works really well, especially in an intimate venue. It really makes it more of a personal experience. People really love that.
It is, and again, I just never cease to be amazed when you see concert pianists, wherever they are on the life, as you say, they sit down and play an entire evening of classical music from memory.
It's terrifying. Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, without any kind of fuss, really. I don't know how they do it.
No, magic, it has to be said. What about on the art front? Anything happening? There's always the wonderful gallery going on, of course. Is there stuff going on in there coming up in the spring?
Well, interesting you should say that, Howard. We had a fantastic open submission exhibition going back to 2023 called Otherworld, which was a celebration of the spooky season, basically all things beginning of winter and Hopchinay and all of that. So we've decided that we're going to do one called Spring Forward, which is launching basically submissions by the end of March, and the exhibition is going to run from April 1st to May the 7th. It's open to all artists, all Isle of Man based artists, no experience needed. You can give us a painting, a photo, sculpture, even video or live performance if you want. And the theme is basically the return of the sun.
Amen to that.
Yeah, exactly. So goodbye to winter. You can take in things like Easter, May Day, Kroshkerns, Beltane, rebirth, new growth, all of that. So it's a quite nice brief. And we're basically asking all Isle of Man based artists who are interested in that to respond to the brief. You can find out about it on our website. There's an application form. So just get in touch with us and let's make it happen.
Absolutely. And just the dates for that then, that will be taking place, or the aim is for that to open when?
Okay, so the submissions by the end of March. I can't remember the exact date, but again, it says on the website, and the show will run from April the 1st, yes, really, to May the 7th.
More from Pip next week, when we'll look further forward and talk about some small artistic events taking place at the venue as well. It's not just the big theatre, but you can use the bar area as well, and the gallery, of course. Wonderful spot. Speaking of the EAC, it is, of course, the spiritual home of the MADF, MADFA, One Act Play Festival, which will be taking place again this year at the Air and Arts Centre from the 11th to the 14th of March. Tickets are available. You can go online to find them. As we heard from MADFA Chair Leandra Lawler and Festival Coordinator Lisa Smith last week. Before they left the studio, though, I wanted to ask about what seems to be an ever-increasing trend at the festival, which I thought may have been started by Lisa herself, although she put me right. You've opened the floodgates because I think you must be one of the first to start writing plays yourself, which were performed by the service players or independent groups and putting them on there. And I think Daphne started writing.
She was
now
the
we're
first,
looking, you know,
yes.
But now it seems to be that lots of people have taken up the bandwagon to have a go, and it's a great chance to do it.
It is. In the last few years, it really has. People have been coming out of the woodwork with their own writing, which is just wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But it was, I think it was Daphne in 2005 with Greengrass. She had two in that year, Greengrass and Des Rez.
That's right. I do remember. I couldn't remember whether she was then, it was you, but it was great just to see, you know, hitherto, I don't remember off the top of my head anyone doing or many of the one actors being written by, you know, people who were in it or people on the Isle of Man. And now, like
that's
you say, four in the weekend.
So that's smashing it.
I mean, the one acts are an amazing platform for the teams to go across when they win, and they get to go across to the All England Festival. Mm. And last year's winner, Jenny Derbyshire, she did The Shelter.
She did,
and
yeah.
she went over.
Her
and
own writing?
For her own piece. Mm. And she won the Derek Jacobi Award for the Best New Play.
Yes.
And it's getting published.
It's wonderful,
I mean,
isn't it?
What an amazing opportunity. So anybody out there for next year, if you're thinking to follow the footsteps of Lisa Smith and Jenny Derbyshire, to actually write your own.
Give
absolutely, get in there.
It is a competition, but it's all in friendly rivalry, we should say. And there are awards. Who doesn't like an award? And there's a new award this year.
Yes, we have a new award called the Walker Family Trophy for the Best Newcomer. This is being donated by Sharon Walker because, as some of our listeners may know, Sharon has been the chairman for the last 5-6 years and has put plays into the one act as well, and has actually won and went over to the All England. So she thought it would be lovely to have an award for the best newcomer, but not just recognising them on stage, but people who have directed production of it all the way through everything, so on and off stage, and that's what that award is for.
It is all taking place, as we say, this year at the Erin Arts Festival down in Port Erin, of course, 11th to the 14th of March, kicking off the evening plays at 7 p.m. More details, anyone, if people want to find out how to book or find out more about the plays, is there a website they can go?
Well, go to erinartscentre.com for tickets. And all the details of all the plays and on different nights, and to see what's what. So yes, erinartscentre.com, and you can go to madfa.madf.im for any information on the festivals and MADFA itself.
Yeah.
Well.
And we also would like to say we're incredibly grateful to our sponsor.
Of course.
To Blackford & Co Insurance Brokers. With their support, it helps make festivals like this happen, and it helps to strengthen the local performing arts community. We must mention our wonderful adjudicator.
Yes.
Sue Doherty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Doherty, yes.
Doherty.
So she's coming over, and again, she's been over a few times to be our adjudicator at the
familiar,
festival.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful adjudicator. And of course, the adjudicator is it's an entertainment in itself, isn't it? It's not so you
it
don't
is.
Come to watch the plays.
I don't envy
well.
Them their job.
No.
But, I mean, because just as we've been hinting at there, there's such a vast variety of different types of plays, and then again with actors and actresses, some of whom might have been acting for 20 years, and others of whom this might be their first performance. So you've got such a huge range of skills at every level to consider and take into account that, yes, I think it's, and Sue, I think, is very good, and all these adjudicators that come across, I know they have a sort of rule book of how they do things, but nonetheless, It's a tricky task, isn't it?
Yes, it must be. And I know that she does it with, as I say, she's very entertaining. You know, she does it with real style. Yes. You do get a bit worried, don't you? Because you're putting it all out there, right? Especially when you've written it.
And then you're going to be, and then someone's going to come. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at least the audience just go.
Right.
I must also mention that the tickets, we have season tickets. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So you can get tickets for the whole evening.
Thing. Four nights, yeah,
so the evenings are, I think, is it £12? Is
yes,
that right?
And or £10 for concessions.
And £35 for the season ticket.
Brilliant, great value.
Yeah, absolutely great value. So, and get your tickets early, because don't sit back on your laurels. It's a smaller venue.
It is.
So with the one acts when they were in the Gaiety, we had the option of
fair amount of space.
Seats.
Yeah.
We do not have that option this year, so please...
Book early.
Yeah, and especially Lisa's play, obviously.
Yeah, it's
of course. Of course.
And the youth plays are on the Friday night. I mean, the Young Actor of Man follows the youth plays on the Sunday at Balacameen Studio. And as I said in a previous interview with yourself, Howard, we have the wonderful Edward Bennett, the actor, which is a different avenue we've gone down this year. Rather than have a Goda adjudicator, we've got a real live actor coming in.
And
he'll be watching some of the plays when he arrives on the island.
Oh,
so that's really, yes. So
it's all very exciting,
yes,
isn't it?
It really is.
It is. Plenty to go out. I'd say cracking value if you want to get for the season ticket there. Support live drama on the Isle of Man. It's a wonderful thing to do and a great setting. And again, a reminder, the 11th to the 14th of March for the Madfur Festival of One-Act Plays. For 2026, break a leg, everyone. But not you two, because you can keep your legs.
I need my knee.
Yes, broken legs all round to the teams. Only in theatrical terms, of course, not literally. That's about it for now, though. We'll be hearing about a wonderful new exhibition, and it is great and so colourful, at the House of Mananin in Peel next week, among other joys. In the meantime, be good, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo!